Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, when you pray and give us this day our daily bread, what are you more interested in receiving from God, his gifts or his grace? I'm sure you've noticed that about answer 125, we just read it. This, that praying the fourth petition is a prayer for God to grant us his gifts, specifically in the form of our daily bread, but that those gifts cannot do us any good whatsoever apart from or without his blessing. And so I ask, if God said to you, I will either shower you with all sorts of gifts, your daily food and then some, but also all sorts of other stuff, clothes, toys, cars, gadgets, good grades at school, whatever you want. If God said to you, I'll give you all of that, I'll give you all the gifts, or I'll give you my grace. Gifts or grace? Which would you choose? Like a mum asking her little girl on a birthday, what do you want? All the presents I've bought you, or my love? If God said gifts or grace, you know what you should answer, but that wasn't the question. The question is, which would you choose, the gifts or the grace? Now, of course, you realize I'm setting up a bit of a false dilemma there. God's gifts come to us because of his grace. But at the same time, it's true to say that when we pray the fourth petition, we're often thinking a whole lot more about God's gifts, the things we need, the things we want, rather than the grace that we need to accompany those gifts, if those gifts are going to do us any good, be of any benefit to us. So which would it be, gifts or grace, or both? Our theme this afternoon, to pray the fourth petition, is to pray for God's grace to be evident in his daily provision for us. We'll consider this afternoon that God's grace is evident in, the first place, the basis for his daily provision, and second, the sufficiency of his daily provision. So first of all, brothers and sisters, God's grace as it's evident in the basis for his daily provision. Question answer 125 says that to pray the fourth petition is to pray, provide us with all good, with all our bodily needs, so that we may acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good. There's a whole lot more to the petition than just asking God to make sure that we've got cereal for our morning breakfast and a good steak, say, on a Saturday evening around the barbecue. We're asking God to feed us and provide all our needs so that, with the goal that we acknowledge, among other things, that without his grace, without his blessing, that food, that clothing, without the blessing of his grace, all of those gifts are indeed useless to us. But isn't it true? So often we're content with the gift or the gifts without truly giving any thought to the grace. Dare I say it? We sometimes think and sometimes act in a way that suggests that we think we don't even need the grace to accompany the gifts that God provides. We sang it in Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders only toil in vain. Unless the Lord upholds their cause, the city's guards keep watch in vain. We sing it. We sing, success on God alone depends. And we sing, on those he loves, the Lord will heap his blessings even while they sleep. But in the waking hours, we tend, true or not, to have our eyes and often our hearts more on the gifts than on the grace. But we understand, brothers and sisters, we're never to separate those two, gifts and grace. And a passage such as the one we read just now makes that very clear. Let's turn again together to Deuteronomy chapter 11. You can follow it through with me. Deuteronomy 11, our scripture reading. As I mentioned, God's people here are on the verge of entering into the promised land. They're on the threshold, you could say, of receiving the greatest gift of all time, the promised land. That land that's described in scripture as flowing with milk and honey. They were, you could say it this way, they were about to have their fourth petition answered with a real bang. At this point, Moses is addressing the people on how important it is to be obedient to God's commandments. Look at verse 8 with me. Now, the first verse where we started our scripture reading. You shall therefore keep the whole commandment that I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and take possession of the land that you are going over to possess. And as we begin to think about the basis for God's daily provision, how come God provides for us, what's the basis on which he does that? As we begin to think about that, we see here immediately a link between obedience and blessing. Keep my commands, says God, verse 8, that you may obtain the land, that you may receive the gift. And then look at verse 10 through 12. Moses makes a very important comparison there between the land from which Israel had come, the land of Egypt, and the land which they're about to enter, the land of Canaan. He says in verse 10, he says there, for the land that you're entering to take possession of it is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and irrigated it like a garden of vegetables. What Moses is saying here is this. In Egypt, the land from which you came, you got the gifts, the daily food you needed. How? Well, by slogging water by hand and foot from the Nile River to your garden. You watered your garden. You could have plenty in Egypt, you could have plenty to eat in that country, Egypt, as long as you were prepared to produce some sweat and carry all those buckets of water. You see, Egypt was dependent on the Nile, which flowed all year round. In Egypt, it's true, you didn't worry too much about your daily nourishment. Why? Because it was always there. As long as you were prepared to do the work for it, carting that water, your crops would grow. But, says Moses, the land of Egypt is different. The promised land is very different, verse 11 through 12. Let me read it for you again. But the land that you're going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water by the rain from heaven, a land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. There's a big difference here, a big difference between these two countries. In Egypt, you could carry your water, but not so in Israel. With all those hills and valleys and lack of watercourses, it would be impossible to keep one's crop watered by hand. The hills and the valleys alike depend on the rain from heaven. See, the land of Canaan is a land that very concretely depends on God to send that rain. This is a country, the land of Canaan, the promised land, in which the only way you are going to receive the gift of daily nourishment is by means of God's grace, by God graciously sending that rain as it was necessary. But, and here's a really important question, how could then Mr. Israelite farmer and his family of, say, a wife and half a dozen kids, how could they know that God would provide his grace in the form of those gifts, that rain over their little corner of Israel, so that he and his family would have their daily needs met? Well, for an answer to that question, listen again to verse 13 through 15. And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil, and he will give grass in your fields for your livestock, and you shall eat and be full. And then verse 16 and 17. Well, then here's the warning, verse 16 and 17. Take care, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heavens, so that there will be no rain, and the land will yield no fruits, and you will perish quickly off the good land that the Lord is giving you. So I think, brothers and sisters, the link here is very clear. On what basis would you know that God will provide you the gifts that you need? More importantly, on what basis could you count on receiving God's grace so that those gifts would be sufficient? Well, the passage is saying this. Obedience, then, will result in supper on the table. Disobedience results in no supper on the table. Obedience, sufficient and even plenty. But disobedience, hunger and poverty. And that link, congregation, between obedience and plenty and disobedience and poverty is clear in other passages too. We could go, for example, to 1 Kings 17. Perhaps you know the story of Elijah. Elijah's God's prophet. He's got to go and speak to King Ahab, that wicked king of Israel. In a word, what was Ahab's sin? What was his wickedness? Well, it was plain and simple disobedience. He had led the people of Israel into idol worship, specifically full out and unashamed worship of Baal, who was supposedly the god of life and fertility. Ahab, the king, and the people with him, turned away from the God of heaven and earth to, in turn, rely on Baal for their breakfast and their lunch and their supper. And what did Elijah say to Ahab? Well, in line with our scripture reading of Deuteronomy 11, he said this to King Ahab in 1 Kings 17, verse 1. Let me read it for you. As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word. So there you have it again. Disobedience means no rain, which means no supper on the table. But then notice this, brothers and sisters, in that same chapter, 1 Kings 17. In this same chapter, we see God providing for his faithful servant Elijah. You remember the story? Remember how God had sent him to camp near a stream so that he could drink the water? And God would send him those birds to give him the food? Well, listen to verse 5 and 6. So he, that's Elijah, went and did according to the word of the Lord. What's that? That's obedience. He listened to God. And he went and lived by the brook Cherith, that is east of the Jordan. And given that obedience, what then? And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So there we see it too. There's obedience, which led to blessing, meaning that Elijah got his supper. And congregation, it's there in the New Testament as well. Take Matthew 6 by way of example. Jesus is teaching that you ought not to worry about your daily needs here in the Sermon on the Mount. And then listen to what the Savior says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What's that, brothers and sisters? That's obedience. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what happens then? And all these things, the things being the things that we worry about, our daily needs, will be added to you. That's that daily provision. So once more, it's there too in the Sermon on the Mount. Obedience leads to blessing, which means you get your supper. Conversely, disobedience leads to no blessing, meaning no supper. The congregation, we need to stop for a moment. Because, and I'm guessing some of you are wondering about this already, aren't we painting ourselves into a corner? Because we're stuck, aren't we now? Again, you can probably guess what's coming next, because Mr. Israelite farmer, nor Elijah the prophet, nor you or I can ever be obedient to the standard which God requires. The question is, how can I pray the fourth petition and even have a hope that the God of heaven and earth will give me my daily provision if his answer to my praying the fourth petition is dependent on my obedience? If it really is so that obedience leads to God's grace, which leads to supper on the table, then aren't we stuck? Truth is, when I go to the store to buy tomorrow, say, to buy my weekly supply of groceries, I know that I deserve to be confronted with empty shelves. See, if obedience leads to God's gifts, then my vegetable garden ought to produce nothing, and my crops ought to yield nothing too. But let me ask you, whose fridge has food in it? Who of us had lunch today, or at least could have had lunch today? See, praise the Lord, we are still provided for. So then, if it's not my obedience, and we know that it cannot be, if it's not my obedience that is the basis for God filling my fridge and giving me lunch, then what is? What's the basis for his daily provision for me? Going back to Deuteronomy, on what basis would God open up the heavens and send the rain onto the hills and the valleys of the promised land? Think again of Mr. Israelite farmer and his wife and kids. They weren't perfect. Their obedience, like yours and like mine, leaves so much to be desired. In fact, it's nothing but filthy rags before the Lord, we confess in Isaiah. It merits us nothing. So then, on what basis could they, the Israelites, expect God's grace to open up the heavens for them and give them the rain they needed? Well, remember here, brothers and sisters, the Old Testament sacrifices. See, part of the obedience God required of them was to make those sacrifices, which we know pointed forward to the blood of the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. See, for Mr. Israelite farmer and his wife and children, it came down to faith in the grace of their God, that he would forgive them their sins and so would count them as obedient, even though in and of themselves they were not obedient. The basis for their daily provision is the grace of God, in that he is the God who graciously forgives disobedience and counts those who are his own as obedient. Why? Because of the yet-to-come grace, the yet-to-come sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his Son. Do you see the grace in that, brothers and sisters? The incredible grace in that? Yes, obedience would mean supper on the table, but we know it's an obedience that Mr. Israelite farmer, nor his wife, nor his kids could render. And so in his grace, looking forward to the perfect obedience of his Son, looking forward to the sacrifice of his only begotten Son, God counts their sins as forgiven and their life to be one of obedience. An obedience that does lead to blessing. An obedience that is ultimately Jesus Christ's, imputed to them. So to be clear, what then do we make of this connection between our obedience and God's blessing? Is Scripture wrong then to make that connection, that link? Well, perish that thought, of course not. Because what is that obedience of ours evidence of? When we live in obedience, that's evidence of a faith in the God of heaven and earth. Obedience is evidence of a faith that embraces the grace of God before it even starts thinking about the gifts of God. It's evidence of a faith that embraces as one's own the obedience rendered for us by our Savior Jesus Christ. See, then you and I, we can pray, give us this day our daily bread, and we pray that, yes, we pray that fully aware that we deserve a flat out no, you're not getting anything. But what I deserve and what I get are total opposites. Why? Because Christ, my Savior, was obedient on my behalf. And that means that when God says, I obey and I will feed you, then he does exactly that. He looks at us, his children, and he sees Christ's obedience. And he says, yes, in Christ you are obedient. In Christ it is as if you've never done anything wrong. And because you are obedient then yes, yes, of course I will feed you. I will open up the heavens for you. When you go to the store, I'll make sure there's enough on the shelf for you there too. Again, the basis for your full pantry and packed fridge is Christ's obedience. Do you see then, brothers and sisters, boys and girls too, do you see how your supper this evening points you to God's grace? It's not just in the gifts themselves, your daily provision. It's much more in the grace that makes the giving of the gifts even possible. See, every time Mr. Israelite farmer looked up at the sky and he'd been praying for rain and he saw that rain coming, he could say, O God of mercy, praise your name, for my obedience has been so pathetic. But because you look at me in light of the sacrifices I brought this morning, those sacrifices that point to Christ, you count me as forgiven. You count me as obedient. And so thank you, God of heaven and earth, for showing me that grace in the rain that's just now starting to fall. And of course, brothers and sisters, there's a question then we have to ask. And you might already be asking yourself this question. Maybe you're asking, does that actually make sense? Because when I go to Sobeys or Food Basics here in town, I'm confronted with loaded shelves, and I now know on what basis that is so. But the other shopper just down the aisle, who perhaps is not a Christian, she or he too is confronted with loaded shelves. How can that be then, if Christ's obedience is not theirs? See, she gets to take of the gifts without acknowledging anything of the grace. So how does that work? But brothers and sisters, for such a person, the loaded shelves at Food Basics are in fact a curse. She picks up that box of Kellogg's cereal, puts it in her shopping cart. But if she does not acknowledge that behind that box of cereal is God's grace, then that is something for which she is going to have to give an account on the day in which she stands before the King Jesus Christ. The box of Kellogg's cereal might be perfectly fresh and crisp when opened up, but for such a person it is in fact a curse. For you and I though, it's a testimony of God's grace. Yes, even a box of cereal points us to God's grace. And so I pray the fourth petition. And as I pray, my prayer then is, Lord, before showering me with gifts, before providing my daily needs, please, Lord, please ensure through your Spirit's work in me that I have an eye for your grace. Because, Lord, if I don't have an eye for your grace, then your gifts are actually a curse to me and can do me no good at all. Lord, make sure that I see your grace when I take from one of your gifts. And Lord, please too make sure that I see your grace in the sufficiency of your daily provision in my life. That's our second point. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, provide us with all our bodily needs, says the Catechism, so that we may acknowledge that you are the fountain of all good. Or we could put it this way, provide us with all our bodily needs so that we may continue to see evidence of your grace in all that you provide for us. We could ask it as a question. What do we need to receive by way of gifts, daily provision, in order to keep seeing God's grace? And very helpful here, brothers and sisters, is the wording of the petition itself. I think most of us tend to shop for a week or two ahead. We do things like put money away in an account for a renovation or a new car because the old one's slowly dying. We might even be putting away money for a holiday sometime in the future. And if we're prudent, financially savvy, we start putting money away for our retirement when we're in our 20s and our 30s. But we know the petition. It says, give us today our daily bread. And as is so often the case, it's helped for us as New Testament Christians to turn to the Old Testament. In Egypt, the children of Israel had plenty. In Exodus 16, 3 days after leaving Egypt, they ran out of water. Remember that, boys and girls, the story? What did they do? You know what they did. They grumbled, they complained. They said this, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. In Egypt they had plenty, but now they're in the desert and they're thirsty and they're hungry. And what does God do for them? Well, we know that too. He feeds them. But how? Just one day at a time. Exodus 16 verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day. Notice that. God is going to feed his people every day. One day at a time. In fact, if they in disobedience took 2 days worth, we know what happened. It went bad. Elijah too. We've referenced 1 Kings 17 before. There verse 6 said this. We read it already. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. You notice that? God fed Elijah one day at a time, even one meal at a time. God provided for him sufficient for the day. Why did God deal with his people in that way? Well, because as Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 explains, there's a reason for this. Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 says this, that he, that's God's people, might know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. In other words, God fed them, his people, the way he did, day by day, one day at a time, to teach them this very important lesson, to depend on him, to acknowledge him as the fountain of all good. Do we see in that, brothers and sisters, God's grace? You see, brothers and sisters, what God's greater concern is as he answers us when we pray the fourth petition and gives us what we need? God's greater concern is this. It's this, congregation, that we never ever lose sight of his grace in what God our Father provides for us, in the sufficiency of his daily provision. Our Father wants to ensure that we never ever lose sight of his grace. Augur, the wise man in Proverbs 30, said it this way, verse 8 and 9, give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. In other words, he's praying, and this should be our prayer, give me exactly what I need, Father, not more than I need, not less than I need, so that I always have an eye for your grace. Or by way of praying the fourth petition, we're then praying, Lord, in your grace, give me sufficient, give me not more, not less, so that I never stop understanding that it's all only by your grace. It's by your grace that I have anything at all. To try and think about it in practical terms, brothers and sisters, let me ask a question. Are God's gifts, his daily provision for you, so abundant that you are perhaps losing sight of his grace? That's the danger of materialism, and it's a very real danger for us too. Or to ask it a bit more bluntly, in your plenty, and so many of us have plenty, are you still keenly aware that God only blesses you because he sees you through the obedience of Jesus Christ, your Savior? Or are you in danger of saying, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth? Remember, that's Deuteronomy 8 verse 17. See, if God's grace, or God's gifts, sorry, brothers and sisters, if God's gifts to you are blocking out his grace, then your wealth becomes a curse to you. And if that's so, then you need to repent and pray more often the fourth petition. Lord, give me today my daily bread, so that I might acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good, so that I might know that all the gifts you give come by grace and by grace alone. Lord, help me to want your grace a whole lot more than I want your gifts. And forgive me when I get that back to front. Father, grant me sufficient for me, so that I never ever lose sight of your grace. And brothers and sisters, the same thing goes for when you are grumbling or complaining about God's provision in your life. Again, to ask it as a question. In your opinion, do you feel as if your Father in heaven is somehow skimping out on you, not really supplying sufficient? You can't do everything you want to do. Is that how you feel? Well, then too, you need to repent and also pray the fourth petition more often. Lord, provide for my daily needs today, so that I might acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good. Help me to see that if in your grace you have determined that this much is sufficient for me, even if I don't think it is enough. But Lord, help me to see and to understand that if you in your grace determine that this much is sufficient for me, then Lord, help me to accept joyfully that this much is indeed sufficient. For Lord, better a little of your gifts with your grace than much of your gifts without your grace. Help me, Father, to rely on your grace and goodness in these times when I feel like or seem as if I have too little. Help me never to lose sight of your grace. And if this little you are providing is in turn making me dependent on you, Father, then I confess that this much is just right for me. In short, brothers and sisters, the fourth petition is to pray, Lord, grant me sufficient, just the right amount of your gifts, so that I never, ever lose sight of your grace. It is to pray the fourth petition and say Amen and embrace the grace of our God as it comes to us in his daily provision for us, simply learning to be content with what he provides. So, brothers and sisters, to go back to the beginning. Gifts or grace? Then, of course, it's God's grace that gives us the gifts. And he gives the gifts so that we never lose sight of the grace. Amen.